Chapter 10. Intention. The bird of paradise was in a state of extreme vibration, and the little bells were ringing quite audibly. It has been the theme of general comment, Mr. Snitchey, apostrophe said Mrs. Snitchey. I hope the office is satisfied. Apostrophe, satisfied with what, my dear? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Mr. Snitchey. With the exposure of a defenseless woman to ridicule and remark, apostrophe returned his wife. That is quite in the way of the office, that is. Apostrophe, I really, myself, apostrophe said Mrs. Cracks, apostrophe have been so long accustomed to connect the office with everything opposed to domesticity, that I am glad to know it as the avowed enemy of my peace. There is something honest in that, at all events. Apostrophe, my dear, apostrophe urged Mr. Cracks, your good opinion is invaluable, but I never avowed that the office was the enemy of your peace. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe said Mrs. Cracks, ringing a perfect peal upon the little bells. Not you, indeed. You wouldn't be worthy of the office, if you had the candor to. Apostrophe, as to my having been away tonight, my dear, apostrophe said Mr. Snitchey, giving her his arm, the deprivation has been mine, I'm sure. But, as Mr. Cracks knows apostrophe, Mrs. Snitchey cut this reference very short, by hitching her husband to a distance, and asking him to look at that man. To do her the favor to look at him. At which man, my dear? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Snitchey. Your chosen companion. I'm no companion to you, Mr. Snitchey. Apostrophe, yes, yes, you are, my dear, apostrophe he interposed. No, no, I'm not, apostrophe said Mrs. Snitchey with a majestic smile. I know my station. Will you look at your chosen companion, Mr. Snitchey, at your referee, at the keeper of your secrets, at the man you trust, at your other self, in short? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the habitual association of self with Cracks, occasioned Mr. Snitchey to look in that direction. If you can look that man in the eye this night, apostrophe said Mrs. Snitchey, and not know that you are deluded, practiced upon, made the victim of his arts, and bent down prostrate to his will by some unaccountable fascination which it is impossible to explain, and against which no warning of mine is of the least avail, all I can say, is I pity you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, at the very same moment Mrs. Cracks was oracular on the cross subject. Was it possible, she said, that Cracks could so blind himself to his Snitcheys, as not to feel his true position? Did he mean to say, that he had seen his Snitcheys come into that room, and didn't plainly see, that there was reservation, cunning, treachery, in the man? Would he tell her, that his very action, when he wiped his forehead and looked so stealthily about him, didn't show that there was something weighing on the conscience of his precious Snitcheys if he had a conscience that wouldn't bear the light? Did anybody but his Snitcheys come to festive entertainments like a burglar? Which, by the way, was hardly a clear illustration of the case, as he had walked in very mildly at the door. And would he still assert to her at noonday, it being nearly midnight, that his Snitcheys were to be justified through thick and thin, against all facts, and reason, and experience? Neither Snitchey nor Cracks openly attempted to stem the current which had thus set in, but, both were content to be carried gently along it, until its force abated. This happened at about the same time as a general movement for a country dance, when Mr. Snitchey proposed himself as a partner to Mrs. Cracks, and Mr. Cracks gallantly offered himself to Mrs. Snitchey, and after some such slight evasions as why don't you ask somebody else? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and you will be glad, I know, if I decline, apostrophe, and I wonder you can dance out of the office, but this jocosely now, each lady graciously accepted, and took her place. It was an old custom among them, indeed, to do so, and to pair off, in like manner, at dinners and suppers, for they were excellent friends, and on a footing of easy familiarity. Perhaps the false cracks and the wicked snitchy were a recognized fiction with the two wives, as Doe and Ro, incessantly running up and down bailiwicks, were with the two husbands. Or, perhaps the ladies had instituted, and taken upon themselves, these two shares in the business, rather than be left out of it altogether. But, certain it is, that each wife went as gravely and steadily, to work in her vocation as her husband did in his, and would have considered it almost impossible for the firm, to maintain a successful and respectable existence, without her laudable exertions. But now, the bird of paradise was seen to flutter down the middle, and the little bells began to bounce, and jingle in Poussette. And the doctor's rosy face spun round and round, like an expressive peg-top highly varnished. And breathless Mr. Cracks began to doubt already, whether country dancing had been made too easy, apostrophe like the rest of life. And Mr. Snitchy, with his nimble cuts and capers, footed it for self and Cracks, and half a dozen more. Now too, the fire took fresh courage, favored by the lively wind the dance awakened, and burnt clear and high. It was the genius of the room, and present everywhere. It shone in people's eyes, it sparkled in the jewels on the snowy necks of girls, it twinkled at their ears, as if it whispered to them slyly, it flashed about their waists, it flickered on the ground, and made it rosy for their feet, it bloomed upon the ceiling, that its glow might set off their bright faces, and it kindled up a general illumination in Mrs. Crack's little belfry. Now too, the lively air that fanned it, grew less gentle as the music quickened, and the dance proceeded with new spirit, and a breeze arose that made the leaves and berries dance upon the wall, as they had often done upon the trees, and the breeze rustled in the room, as if an invisible company of fairies, treading in the footsteps of the good substantial revelers, were whirling after them. Now too, no feature of the doctor's face could be distinguished as he spun and spun, and now there seemed a dozen birds of paradise in fitful flight, and now there were a thousand little bells at work, and now a fleet of flying skirts was ruffled by a little tempest, when the music gave in, and the dance was over. Hot and breathless as the doctor was, it only made him the more impatient for Alfred's coming. Anything been seen, Britain? Anything been heard? Apostrophe, too dark to see far, sir. Too much noise inside the house to hear. Apostrophe, that's right. The gayer welcome for him. How goes the time? Apostrophe, just 12, sir. He can't be long, sir. Apostrophe, stir up the fire, and throw another log upon it, apostrophe said the doctor. Let him see his welcome blazing out upon the night, good boy. As he comes along, apostrophe, apostrophe, he saw it, yes. From the chaise he caught the light, as he turned the corner by the old church. He knew the room from which it shone. He saw the wintry branches of the old trees between the light and him. He knew that one of those trees rustled musically in the summertime at the window of Marion's chamber. The tears were in his eyes. His heart throbbed so violently, that he could hardly bear his happiness. How often he had thought of this time, pictured it under all circumstances, feared that it might never come, yearned, and wearied for it far away. Again the light, distinct and ruddy, kindled, he knew, to give him welcome, and to speed him home. He beckoned with his hand, and waved his hat, and cheered out, loud, as if the light were they, and they could see and hear him, as he dashed towards them through the mud and mire, triumphantly. Stop. He knew the doctor, and understood what he had done. He would not let it be a surprise to them. But he could make it one, yet, by going forward on foot. If the orchard gate were open, he could enter there. If not, the wall was easily climbed, as he knew of old, and he would be among them in an instant. He dismounted from the chaise, and telling the driver, even that was not easy in his agitation, to remain behind for a few minutes, and then to follow slowly, ran on with exceeding swiftness, tried the gate, scaled the wall, jumped down on the other side, and stood panting in the old orchard. There was a frosty rime upon the trees, which, in the faint light of the clouded moon, hung upon the smaller branches like dead garlands. Withered leaves crackled and snapped beneath his feet as he crept softly on towards the house. The desolation of a winter night sat brooding on the earth and in the sky. But the red light came cheerily towards him from the windows. Figures passed and repassed there, and the hum and murmur of voices greeted his ear sweetly. Listening for hers. Attempting, as he crept on, to detach it from the rest, and half believing that he heard it. He had nearly reached the door, when it was abruptly opened, and a figure coming out encountered his. It instantly recoiled with a half-suppressed cry. Clemency, apostrophe, he said, don't you know me? Apostrophe, don't come in. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she answered, pushing him back. Go away. Don't ask me why. Don't come in. Apostrophe, what is the matter? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he exclaimed. I don't know. I am afraid to think. Go back. Hark. Apostrophe, there was a sudden tumult in the house. She put her hands upon her ears. A wild scream, such as no hands could shut out, was heard, and Grace's distraction in her looks and manner rushed out at the door. Grace. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he caught her in his arms. What is it? Is she dead? Apostrophe, she disengaged herself, as if to recognize his face, and fell down at his feet. A crowd of figures came about them from the house. Among them was her father, with a paper in his hand. What is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Alfred, grasping his hair with his hands, and looking in an agony from face to face, as he bent upon his knee beside the insensible girl. Will no one look at me? Will no one speak to me? Does no one know me? Is there no voice among you all, to tell me what it is? Apostrophe, apostrophe, there was a murmur among them. She is gone. Apostrophe, gone. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he echoed. Fled, my dear Alfred. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the doctor, in a broken voice, and with his hands before his face. Gone from her home and us. Tonight. She writes that she has made her innocent and blameless choice and treats, that we will forgive her praise, that we will not forget her and is gone. Apostrophe, with whom? Where? Apostrophe, he started up, as if to follow in pursuit, but, when they gave way to let him pass, looked wildly round upon them, staggered back, and sunk down in his former attitude, clasping one of Grace's cold hands in his own. There was a hurried running to and fro, confusion, noise, disorder, and no purpose. Some proceeded to disperse themselves about the roads, and some took horse, and some got lights, and some conversed together, urging that there was no trace or track to follow. Some approached him kindly, with the view of offering consolation. Some admonished him that Grace must be removed into the house, and that he prevented it. He never heard them, and he never moved. The snow fell fast and thick. He looked up for a moment in the air, and thought that those white ashes strewn upon his hopes and misery were suited to them well. He looked round on the whitening ground, and thought how Marion's footprints would be hushed and covered up, as soon as made, and even that remembrance of her blotted out. But he never felt the weather, and he never stirred. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.